It was nice to meet you. All right. Thank you to everybody who joined us in that meeting, because it's so important that we're here for not only to hear from God, right, but we're here to receive, but to give and fight for others, you know. And it's one thing to say, God, speak to me, but it's another to say, God, I'm asking you to speak to someone else in this moment. And, you know, so we're called to war for each other and not just, you know. It's the first piece of the kingdom of God is that it's so much bigger than we are, right? So, awesome. Whoa, that just showed up. Do I, for the purposes of this thing, should I stand up here? Should I just, okay, cool. So we've got a new camera mounted for the web folks. One of our biggest weaknesses and complaints has been that it's hard to hear and see, and so we're fixing it and we're working out all the kinks. I will be asking for anybody who's online to email me after this and let me know if it's better or worse. Okay? All right. Are you guys all staying for the brunch afterwards? Yeah? Cool. You can get in line and undercut everybody else. All right. Well, Lord, speak to us. You got 15 minutes. No, just kidding. So wanted to continue our discussion on freedom, but I wanted to pick it up from the aspect of worship. You know, freedom is a hey guys in the back, how are you doing? Long time no see. We wanted to draw from this point that out of our freedom our worship flows, but also in our worship that's where freedom is experienced, and it's almost like a chicken and an egg discussion with the Lord. Okay, so we worship out of the freedom that we've attained, and as we worship Him, we attain new levels of freedom. Easy enough, right? Any arguments? Good. All right. Let's see. I have a chapter. I'd like to read this chapter to you. It's very short. Psalms 127. I'm just going to read five verses, and it's funny. It was actually, well, let me just read it to you, and then we'll just jump in, and I think this will speak for what it is. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. Children are born to a young man. Children born to a young man are like arrows in the warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. And Jesse and Jess said, amen. First thing I want to point out, this chapter is a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. So remember, God was in Jerusalem. If you wanted to experience His presence, you had to actually physically get up and go travel to Jerusalem and go to the temple to worship and experience Him, right? So this is a song to prepare your heart for worship. But wait a minute, I read about kids, I read about work, I read about guarding city. What the heck does that have to do with worship? And that is what I wanted to explain today. And I really want to draw from the concepts. But imagine this. Imagine you're on this trip with your family and your kids are saying every 5 minutes, are we there yet, right? And it takes you, let's just say 2 days of travel, just two days of straight up travel to get to Jerusalem because you really want to experience God's presence, right? We are so spoiled in this generation, right? Post-Holy Spirit, where He dwells in us. We don't have to go anywhere. I mean, we just literally just start talking to Him and He's there, right? Yeah? But imagine the preparation, like for those 2 days while the kids are going crazy and you've got nothing left to talk about with the rest of your family, right? And you're going to worship and you're thinking about, what am I going to experience and what's it going to be like? And I wonder if it's going to be, you know, I've heard that when David and Solomon's teams would worship, I mean, it was like amazing, right? How do you prepare your heart for that? And along comes this song. Right? That unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his little ones. The first thing I notice is before you can prepare your heart in order to enter into this place of worship, you have to acknowledge that he is a God of rest. And that, you know, we toil and we work and then we spin ourselves up and we're on like our phone. How, like, are you as addicted to the phone thing as me? Right? Like I've gotten to this point where I will not waste. This is a confession now. This is not pride. Okay. This is a confession. I will not waste a minute without doing something else at this point. It's horrible. Like, I won't even go to the bathroom without doing something else, right? More knowledge than you needed to know, but like, everything is a waste of time, right? So if I'm going down the stairs, I've got my phone and I've got, you know, 30 seconds to get down these stairs and to the next thing, and I'm gonna make sure that I've just checked in on the election results or whatever, right? I'm checking in on stuff. What did someone email about? Someone just texted me. How can I, maybe I can knock out another text back to someone else, right? You? We got to like pull ourselves back and say, unless the Lord builds this thing called life in us, we're working in vain, right? And then we get into our worship time with him and it's like, how come I don't sense you? And he's like, because you're just so spun up, right? I feel so empty because he's like, yeah, because this is the first 30 seconds you've given me in over a week, right? As you prepare your hearts for worship, as you come, and this is not just Sunday morning worship, this is like your everyday lifestyle worship. As you prepare your heart to approach me before you even step one step, make sure you recognize I'm a God of rest and I'm not calling for more busyness and I'm not a box to be checked. Right? I am not a box to be checked, he says. So don't come to me thinking you're gonna text me a thumbs up, call it worship, and go. You know what I mean? How come I feel so dry when I worship? He's like, because you need to stop swiping left and calling it worship. Right? I'm using some analogies here, but I think you know what I'm talking about. There's a moment of our heart that says, you know, God, I have been worshiping the thing that I'm chasing in my life more than you, because every minute I have 5 minutes to go walk this way or that or do this or use the bathroom, I'm checking in instead of just really focused on you. Right? This is a very encouraging word, I'm telling you. The purpose of this song was to prepare the heart for worship, not to drive people into senses of conviction and condemnation, amen? So nothing I'm saying today is to drive you to feel bad about anything. It's just to reprioritize, and then reprioritizing can be nice, huh? Notice the emphasis on rest. He is not a God who drives us toward busyness. He's always reminding us to rest. The other thing I see, following up on the whole rest discussion, and I am moving fast just because of the time, but children are a gift from the Lord. Like, what does that have to do with worship? Number one, the kids in the back screaming, are we there yet, right? So he's like, oh man, I wish I could just kick the kid out of the wagon, right? No, children are a gift from the Lord. Okay, thank you, God. My quiver's full. My tolerance is not. But there's this other thing where he's bringing us back to family. God is a God of family. What's the first thing he did for Adam when he put him in the garden was he gave him Eve. It was like, you know, and then the second, be fruitful and multiply. Like, there's this command of family that he wants us together. Like, you know, for all the busy stuff you're doing to please all the people in your life, none of them are going to remember any of it except for family. Right? And they may not remember the exact thing you did, but they will remember the effort you placed, the priority you placed them in life, right? I have to constantly remind myself of this, and please don't take this offensively, but I know that within 2 years, if I was to die in a car accident, you would completely forget the effort that I put into your life. I'm telling you, you'd be like, this is not to puff me up. This is to like just realize, you'd move on, you'd find another pastor, you'd build a life, and you'd be good. The Lord would provide, right? Do you know what I'm getting at? And so there's a check in my heart that the Lord's been giving me. He's like, Daryl, you're getting family out of priority again. You're sowing to the people who are going to forget in 2 years. Don't take this wrong. I'm just putting it for what it is. Can we like put the socks in the sock drawer, put the underwear in the underwear, right? We're all so busy doing stuff to please or to meet expectations. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's the expectation of this person who thinks that you are supposed to check in this way and that way and do these things. No. God, who's a God of rest, who's calling us into a place of worship and encounter with him, is also saying, is your family first in this? Are we cool with this? Like, what the heck does this have to do with worship? Everything. Everything. Who are you worshiping if it's not the one who has priorities and who's given them to us? And rest is a priority and family's a priority, right? And if we forget that when we approach him and we're like, well, who are you worshiping? This thing. It's a magazine God. It's what he's supposed to look like when everything's perfect, right? But it's not really him. Is this weird? Good. So why is it important? Because if we don't connect with who God really is and what he's really saying, our priorities could be all over the place. But then we walk in like we're up to here in garbage that we created. And we walk in and we're like, God, I exalt you. Why don't I feel clean? Why don't I feel free? Because you're not. You're standing up to your waist in trash. Why? Because you didn't listen to me. The things I value, you're not listening. And yet you're worshiping and looking for something like a feeling to come from your worship. And that means you're really not worshiping. You're actually trying to do an exchange. I paid this and I expect this in return. Are we worshiping to get? It's so quiet, I think the answer might be a little bit of yes. Right? Sometimes we make these sacrifices in our life that harms relationships, and God is reminding us that he built and he wants to confirm connections with family. So, guys, if there's ever a point in your life where you're worshiping and you just feel like it's hollow and stuff, the Lord often does that to get our attention so we'll wake up and realize where we might be out of priority. You've read, you know, when it talks about how if husbands and wives are in disagreement, their prayers are hindered. Like, why do you think God would hinder a prayer? Because he's like, it's not about the stuff. It's about you getting your house thing right. Put it back together and the heavens will open. Magically, right? You hear the heart here, right? Okay. Another thing that I'm seeing here is it's talking about, you know, the man who has a lot of kids, he will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. You know, there's a guy, he's called the accuser of the brethren, right? And he's always accusing. So even if you don't have any like human enemies in your life making accusations about you, then you actually have a spiritual accuser who's constantly making accusations, right? And what I feel like the Lord is saying is he's got a real emphasis for blamelessness, right? The Lord wants us to walk in the beauty of holiness is how we're supposed to worship him. We're supposed to be blameless. And what I think is fun is as we approach him and as we enter in and identify with the blamelessness that's created in our life, one of the things that protects families is lots of kids, okay? Now, this is not a Catholic go have lots of kids kind of message. What I am talking about though is the person who is investing so deeply into the family God gave them hardly has time to get into trouble. Right? Hardly has energy. Now, in fact, if you're going to go do something that's like against God's heart or his will, or right, you kind of have to step away from your responsibility for family in order to do it. Don't you? You kind of have to sacrifice and break some relationship if you're going to go out there and really fulfill that selfish desire, right? The workaholic, alcoholic, cheat on your family, cheat on your wife, right? You kind of have to step away from family in order to do that. So if you step into family deeper, you're not going to follow those things, right? And in the blamelessness that's created, the blessed is the man who's full of it, right? It's that freedom that comes with worship. The connection is now open. It's like you have that clear window between the Lord and yourself. Does that make sense? Well, what could be standing between me and the Lord? Honestly, it's nothing, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. The thing that's there is perception. It's your own. It's your own guilt. It's your own feeling, which is totally unattainable, right? Or unexplainable. Feels like you're not clear with the Lord. It's just condemnation, guilt, and lies. But as we enter into God, what is the most important things that you have on your heart for my life, and how can I pursue those? You're going to hear him say back always. He's going to say things like, rest. You can't do this thing on your own. Now, no matter how much work you put in, it'll never be enough if it's just you. Right? It's family. And if you're a grandparent or whatever, fine, that's fine. I'm not trying to tell you, like, just invest into the ones that God has put into your legacy. Really invest into them. And blamelessness. Make sure that you put yourself so heavily thrown into what's on God's heart that the blame of all the other stuff isn't chasing you down and blocking that freedom that you have in worship, right? Cool? Very strange at first face value. Like, how do I prepare my heart for worship? I'm going to read Psalms 127. You know what I mean? I would rather talk about how big God is. I would rather talk about how wonderful he is. I'd rather all that he's done for me, you know, things like that. No, actually, I just want you to focus on the fact that I'm a God of rest, and I'm calling you to focus on family and be blameless. And as you step into that role, you understand who I am and what I've done to make that possible in your life, right? Like, the beautiful thing about Sabbath rest that the Jewish people demonstrated to the rest of the world is, I got a God who gives me rest. You don't. Right? And the world sees and understands his ways. Wow, rest is important. I wish I had rest. I wish I had a God that loved me enough to make me sit down. Right? But dang, what I could do if I could get my Sunday back. Right? The rebellious piece of us. Okay. This is so funny. It's like, it's all these disconnected thoughts all coming back into one place, because they're all related, right? Yes, Daryl. Oh, great. So there's something else that I see when I, now that we've kind of covered the high level, the next level down, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Anybody here suffering from an overemphasis on vigilance or hypervigilance in your life right now? That if you let go, if you back off just a hair, if you take your eye off the ball, it's all over. And it's not just going down a little, it's going down a lot. Yeah? Not currently, but you know the hypervigilance I'm talking about. Yes. Or building. If the Lord's not building, then the workers are in vain. I have to keep putting in, because if I don't, I'm going to lose momentum. And when momentum stops, the whole thing falls down, because it's all built on my effort and my momentum and my response, right? Do you hear it? What's the problem with that word in the middle of it? My, it's all about you. And worship is not anything to do with you, right? And so drawing your heart and your mind back into the place of worship is to recognize this has really not a whole lot to do with me. All right, you're thinking. I'll let you think. So when we start confronting, hey, am I being too hypervigilant? Am I putting too much emphasis on my effort? Then we're confronted with the next level deeper, which is, are we facing off with a fear of failure, the reality of struggle, or the fear of even just mediocre results? The disappointment of not getting back what we put in. Is that like a level deeper? Why we fight so hard for the things that are important to us? Because really, we're not driven by responsibility, we're driven by the fear. And if that's true, okay, that's not everybody, but if that's true, we have to take it another level deeper and ask ourselves, do I really believe God will be my provider if I took my hands off the wheel? if I just kept doing what I need to do, but not quite so vigilantly, not quite so focused, not quite so me all the time, would it just fall apart? Would the Lord keep my plate spinning? It's a lot to think about, right? But it's really important because, you know, some of us have like 10 plates that we're all trying to spin and balance, and then we walk into the place of worship and we're like, how come I don't feel free? It's like, because you won't take your eyes and your minds and your thoughts off of this busy stuff all the time. And God says, you say that you love me, you say that you honor me, but your actions keep telling me how inadequate I am in your mind. Cool with that? It's beyond faith. It's this reality of just saying, you know what? There's a part of us that's way outside of God's heart, and we have to come back into his heart before we really recognize what's wrong. Yeah? Sure. Yeah. It's faith, but it's understanding who he is. I guess I would say it this way. Who wants to worship an inadequate God? Any takers? No takers. And yet, I think there's parts of us deep, deep down, it's like 7 levels deep, it's not right on the surface, we think or we believe or at least we are afraid subconsciously that he's not enough. And yet we'll come together and we'll sing words like all of you is more than enough for all of me. But in our head, you hear the little parrots on your shoulder saying, liar, liar, right? Do you get where I'm going with this? And so as you're trying to worship and you're here, but you got this thing, nope, you're lying, you're saying stuff that's not true because you deep down know it, right? That's all I'm getting at is we have to keep coming back to this place of what if I go into the place of rest? What if I let go of having to strive to be more than enough for myself and I let it go and I put it in his hand and that doesn't mean stop doing what you know is right and what you have to do, right? But really put the control and the outcome in his hand. I wish Tom were in here and he stepped out. He said something to me this week. He had no idea how instrumental it was. Yeah, right along these lines. I'll have to tell him later. So, how much time we got? I got enough, I guess. So, Genesis 1:28, what's the first thing he says to mankind? It's the be fruitful and multiply, right? Oh, there we go. Thanks. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Did you see that? Replenish. Why not plenish? Anyways, that's just for me. I'm going to talk to you about that later. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it, right? That's the thing that God said to us, and now it's really easy for us to say, okay, so that is a commandment. Well, yeah, it's a commandment because it's a direction, right? But my Bible right here, and actually King James agrees, says that God blessed them. So this command is not just a command, it's a blessing. Do you hear me? And the Lord's spoken blessing, like when he said, let there be light, in the original language, he just said, light be, and it was a blessing, and he saw it was good, and it formed, right? It obeyed his command, but it was a blessing, and it was good, right? And then he says to man, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to multiply, I want you to replenish the earth, I want you to subdue it, I want you to have dominion. That's a blessing, that's not a burdenous command. Make sense? Because as the Lord gives the blessing, the command, he's also giving the grace to accomplish. Okay? You're not like, hey, you're on your own, kid. I want to see what it looks like to see a guy step in who has nothing and make it happen, right? No, he was coming to meet with them and the cool of the day and talk with them and love them and coach them, and right? So Why is this important? Because, the statement to be fruitful didn't stop when Adam sinned, when Eve sinned. The command, the blessing is still in play today. And whatever curse that was brought upon us by sin, Jesus died so that the curse would be broken, but the blessing still stands. And let's really look at this, right? To be fruitful, to bear fruit. Can I say it in New Testament language? You are blessed to just do it. Just bear fruit in the name of Jesus in your life. And it doesn't mean now you got to add 10 more things to your to-do list this week because, oh yeah, remember to be fruitful. Remember to love people. Remember to do my 3 acts of kindness, right? No, it's a blessing. In your rest, enter in and be fruitful, bear fruit, to multiply, increase. The word of the Lord is to increase, okay? That doesn't mean if you're decreasing, that's wrong. It just means his blessing over your life is to increase, okay? Replenish, to fill, to make it full, to put it back what it was taken. Do you understand what replenish means? Someone takes something, you add and put the thing back that was taken. God was like, someone stole something from you, and then someone stole something from your neighbor, from your brother, from your parent. Someone stole. Who stole? Who's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Right. Put it back. Build it back. Make it better. Replenish that thing. It's a blessing on your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. Another one. Subdue the earth. Did you know that word literally in the Hebrew is kibosh? Put the kibosh on something. You know, they don't really know where that phrase came from. I think I do. It came from the Hebrews. So to put the kibosh on something is to subdue it and say, nope, you're not allowed to go any further than what I told you you can do. Right? I mean, that's literally what the translation is. To subdue something is to say, this far, no further. When you build a retaining wall, it's your right as a human being to build a retaining wall. You're telling the water, you can go this far and no farther. You are retained and detained, and everything from this point on, I'm declaring mine and you can't touch it. Subdue it, right? And that's more than a command. It's a blessing on your life. You being a little Jesus... right? Have the right to subdue something, say this far, no further. Right? What are you doing, Daryl? Why are you taking me down this rabbit trail? Because it's so important as we take our walk back through I'm going to the house of the Lord to worship. I have to reconnect that with the fact that he's a God of blessing. He's a God of rest. He's a God of family. And all this other stuff, this chaos is trying to take me away from rest and family and blamelessness. I feel like I have to cheat to get ahead. I feel like I have to hurt, say something bad to get something that I want. I feel like I have to be forceful and demand my own way and push and get first in line. And I feel like right? And he's like, no. All that stuff has to come out of your life, all that carnality and that focus on the things that are not important before you can come in and enter into the worship and experience me in spirit and in truth. And I wouldn't ask you to do those things if I hadn't already blessed you with the ability to accomplish. And I'm taking you all the way back to the original story to show you where the blessing was in place to do and fulfill the Psalms 127 so that in the end you can experience his presence and not feel dry. Can you connect all the dots? That's ultimately what I want. I want you to experience him for real. Not just because you read about him, right? As we approach him, we have to remember he's a God of blessing and good purpose. Because you're going to drag all your trash into his presence, and you have to remember, God, this stuff is real. I can't ignore this, but I know that you aren't this. You are a God of goodness and blessing and good purpose. So I'm leaving this here if you can help me with it, right? And I'm going to worship you for being a good God, not for letting trash in my life. But we don't do that. We bring this stuff in and we're like, it is well with my soul. No, it's not. Right? We're not worshiping. We're just saying, I'm strong enough. I got this, Lord. I got it. No. No, we don't. Why do I feel dry? I want you to be free. I don't want you to feel dry. If the Lord isn't building, he are going to work in vain anyways. So why don't you take a break? If he isn't guarding, your best defense will still not be effective. So why are we fighting to protect what he may not even want us to have in the first place? Right? Laboring apart from God's blessing is harmful to oneself. You know, I don't think I'm going to go a lot further. I've got a whole heck of a lot, and I can just save it, and we can talk about it as we go forward. I don't want to upset brunch. But there's something here that the Lord was just really showing. And I'll end with this, but you know, the Pharisees, they approached Jesus and they said, Jesus, fasting is a biblical principle. Yep. How come the disciples don't fast when they're near you? You guys are always eating. And right? And you know, I'm going to cut into it a little bit deeper and say, we've already had this discussion, Jesus. The people you eat with offends us. Right? So, like, there's nothing you do around here, Jesus, that makes any sense and approves of the way we think you should be doing it, right? And Jesus said, in regard to them, you know, they're not going to fast while the bridegroom is present. When the bridegroom is gone, then they'll fast. But he followed it up with a Mark 2, and I want to say it's the second to the last slide, but Mark 2, verse 21, where he said, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskin, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. You probably have heard all this, how this all works, right? But the idea is, if you've got an old pair of clothes with a hole in it, you put a new patch on it, first time you wash it, the new patch dry, you know, like shrinks in the dryer, right? And it tears the hole even bigger. Any of us feel like we've started with a really like hole in our life, and then the more we fought to preserve and protect and get that thing right, the bigger the thing tore, right? And the Lord is trying to tell us he's doing a new thing, which is to say, I'm calling you out of a rut. There's a prophetic word for you right now. The Lord is calling people out of ruts. When you pour new wine into an old wineskin, right? Every time you pour wine into a wineskin, it expands, right? And if it's a new wineskin, it expands because it's fresh, right? Now, once it's been expanded, it can't continue to expand, right? At some point, everything tears. So you pour new wineskin, it expands, it's now this big. All right, you drink it all, not in one sitting. Then you pour a bunch of more new wine, and this time it expands more, but it can't encounter that, right? It can't hold that together, so it bursts, and all your wine's all over the place. And you're like, man, what the heck? Right? And the Lord is trying to say, I'm always doing a new thing in your life. I'm not the God of ruts. I'm the God of creativity, right? And wisdom and freedom, and I'm the one that thinks outside of your ways. You're not the way that thinks, you know, higher than my ways. And I'm here to tell you, like, the Lord is bringing us out of ruts. So if you found yourself into this place where you're really struggling and working hard, you're trying to protect something, and it's not, you know, it doesn't feel like it's going to be there tomorrow if you took your eyes off of it. If you feel like you're making sacrifices of family in order to have the things you are supposed to have, if you feel like you are missing out on rest, you know, Adam and I were talking about that. I'm ready for the day where we don't wake up tired all the time, right? It's a good sign that the Lord is saying, okay, you're stretched. I better not pour new wine into you. You'll tear. But God, I want the new wine. Well, you're not ready. You're going to tear because you're trying to fit me in your broken, stretched life. God, I want revival. Do you want revival? Heck yeah. And he's like, do you know what that would do to your rest, to your family, and to your blamelessness if you just tore all over the place? What are we going to do about it? We. This is we words now. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? Because I want to be positioned for him to throw the ball. Do you? I want to be the guy in the corner screaming, I'm open. Do you? And so what are we going to do? Like, what? It, where are our priorities way over fixated on success or financial freedom or paying off a thing or attaining a financial goal or, you know, God forbid my son should have to pay for his own college like I did, right? I'm being sarcastic, but you get the point, right? Like, what is he doing? What is he saying? That's not for you anymore. I'm a God of rest. I'm a God of family. I'm a God of blamelessness. And until you can enter into the simplicity, then I'm not going to pour the new wine on. And I want to. Believe me, I do. But I just know that it'll hurt you. Are you cool? Did I lose you? No? All right, good. Let's pray. Yes. Yep. Yep. So for all the people on the internet, he said the pastors have been meeting and talking about what is the Lord saying, and the two things are, one, the new wine discussion this week, as well as the revelation fact that Jesus said multiple times to each of the seven churches, if you have an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Yeah. So Father, let me just start this off. I don't know where it's going to go. Lord, I sense that you are trying to position people in a new place, God, a new posture, that, Lord, you would not call us to break foundationally the person that you are, and that, Lord, by saying, hey, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on this area, and I'm going to really move on people's lives, and I'm going to rescue those who are hurting, and I'm going to bring Jesus to those who are dying, and Lord, there's emotional healing, and there's relief, and there's opening prison doors, and all this at work that needs to happen, and yet, Lord, we're so spread all over the place, and COVID hasn't helped. And in some ways, Lord, you have used COVID to shut down things that we would have done ordinarily without even thinking twice. And in other ways, we're so separated from each other and from fellowship. And so, God, we just bring this thing to you, and we say, God, if there's an area of our life where we're trying to protect something, we're trying to build something, and it's just taking all of our time and our effort and our energy and breaking even relationships with those that are closest to us, Lord, sacrificing things that we shouldn't be sacrificing to have, God, that you would break that cycle, Father, in Jesus' name. That God, you are the provider, and we want to know you as the provider. We don't only want to know you as, you know, the God who, as long as you stay over there and we give us what we want, we're happy. Lord, you wouldn't call us to sacrifice things with family, relationships. You wouldn't call us to a place where we'd sacrifice our integrity or blamelessness. And you are a God of rest. Lord, as we come to you, we want to worship and thank you for who you are. And Lord, we ask that you would position us to that place where we're ready for the next thing, the new wine, as it would, that's coming, God, that it wouldn't tear us, Father, because if we're not ready, if we don't have our ducks in the row that aligns with the kingdom of heaven, God, that this good thing could actually become a bad thing. And we want to experience the good thing, Father. Oh, God, I pray that each person here would not feel condemnation in any way. And Lord, that they would hear what the Spirit is saying, and they would hear challenges that would transform their life for the better. That they would experience wisdom for challenging that little voice inside that either says that if they let go, the world's going to fall apart, or that it's okay to sacrifice the most important relationships because it's only temporary. God, prepare our hearts for that place of worship too, Father, where there's such freedom in our worship. No more internal struggle going on. Lord, let us have an ear to hear what you're saying. I feel like there's just a quick, you know, it doesn't have to be crazy, but there might be a time of repentance where you say, yeah, Lord, I've put way too much energy into fill in the blank. And I don't even know how to say I'm done. I just want to say I'm done. Lord, I've sacrificed relationship or time with family, with kids, with relatives. I don't even know how to say I'm going to make that better, but I just want to be able to say I want to. Or Lord, I've been tempted to do things that would help advance me, but they're not fully blameless. And I don't know how to get myself ahead without doing that. Lord, I just release that to you. Because ultimately, when I come before you, I want to be in your presence, not wrestling with my soul. Just give it to him, okay? If you want it, you can have it. Is anyone else here led to add to that prayer? Or maybe you saw something and it's worth sharing for this context? For sure. Take the box.
This song. I shared with Daryl this my testimony. I've been sitting on it for a while. About 12 weeks ago, we had a healing service, and Alicia was up here, and some of the girls came over to pray, and I was just sitting on the floor, just praying. And we were praying for her four, and I wasn't even praying for me. And I got up after the service, and kind of funny, went home to Stu, and I said, I probably should have started with this part, but I had been suffering with just debilitating anxiety and fear that I've never had in my life as a result of all this COVID stuff and my children. And I don't know, I'll just say it. This vaccine just terrifies me. So I don't know where you stand on it, but personally. And it was just over, like, couldn't function, just the fear. And he took it that day. And it was wild. And I'd had friends that I'd been messaging, and, you know, what are we gonna do? And, you know, and like strategizing, like we couldn't have any control over it. And like all of a sudden I'm like, guys, I don't know, I'm not scared anymore. Like, so sorry, we've been having this dialogue, and now, like, I'm good. I'm not scared. And they're like, okay, Kim. And I'm not saying I haven't had moments in these few months. You know, there's so many pieces. Like, there's life anyway, and then there's COVID, and then whatever age, if you have kids, whatever they are, and whatever your job situation is, and things just pile. And then, like, at our house right now, our floors are all torn up. Like, throw that in. And just like how timely this sermon and this discussion of freedom. I just really want to share that I've been feeling convicted and kind of waiting, like, when am I going to share this? Because I didn't even ask for this healing, and he just gave it to me. And the only thing I believe he wants me to do is to tell people that he did it. And I didn't ask. And so every day that I start, I call it spinning out. I say to my husband, I'm starting to spin out. And I just kind of stop and I say, thank you, Lord, for taking that from me. And that I might be having a moment right now, but this is not who I am. This is not what you created for me. And thank you, God, for what you're doing and that you're going to take it again. And that this is just a moment. This is not somewhere I'm going to live ever again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And so I was texting just someone last night and saying, if we get the chance, if whatever way that the world is going right now, if we get the chance to have any persecution for the Lord, that's amazing. How crazy, in 12 weeks how I've switched to, God, please, we don't even know what persecution is in America. Give me the chance to stand up and say, Jesus, like, do what you're gonna do to me. Like, we don't even know. And so all this fear and whatever, I just pray that he's glorified, and he will be, and that we have the blessing to stand up when it's over and say, you did this, you knew it, you healed us, you took anxiety, you took, you know, Karen and Marguerite, I've had two healings in this church in the last few years. I had this supernatural healing of unforgiveness a few years ago, and it has never come back. And all I have to do is tell everybody about it. Say, thank you, Jesus. That's all he wants. So, I don't know. That made sense. I just want to encourage you guys. He'll heal you if you don't even ask, because he loves you and he's your dad. And when he does, you just tell people and you pray for more opportunities for him to do things that you can tell more people about. Amen. And if you're scared, that's good. It means he's doing something, I think.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing. You did it. Good job. Anybody else? All right. Huh? You wouldn't dare follow that? Okay.
That's a mic drop.
You want me to?
No.
Oh, dang. I really was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to the big boom. Well said by our treasurer. Well, Lord, thank you for this time. And we thank you for the freedom and the family, the sense of togetherness that you've created.